Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 322 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Whether you're buying or selling, choosing the right real estate agent is key. With Legacy Realty, you'll work with a dedicated agent from our team of 75 plus professionals who know the Ankeny market like the back of their hand. Our agents provide personalized service to meet your unique needs and goals, ensuring your real estate journey is smooth and successful. As one of the largest brokerages in the area, we leverage the latest tools, resources, and marketing strategies backed by the power of LPT Realty to give you the edge in today's competitive market. The Legacy Realty of Iowa is not just about a transaction, it's about building your legacy. All right, we're going to talk a lot of volleyball tonight as the volleyball postseason is officially underway. Later on, I'll be visiting with a senior standout from both the Ankeny and Ankeny Centennial squads. I also have a special guest on from Legacy Realty. But right now, we're going to begin with my first two guests from Ankeny Christian Academy. To my left is assistant coach for the Eagles, and she is filling in for head coach Michelle Quick tonight as Michelle is attending the all-conference meeting for coaches. She is Kara Traber. Kara, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, you bet. And to my right is a sophomore right side hitter for the Eagles. She has helped the team to a 26-13 record and a number 7 ranking in Class 1A. She ranks second on the team with 192 kills while hitting 220 on the season. And she's also racked up 265 digs, 20 blocks, and she ranks third on the team with 39 aces. She is Breeze Benz. Breeze, thanks for joining me. How you doing? Bet. Well, I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. Coach, let's start with you. Your team opened postseason play last night with a 25-10, 25-7, 25-9 win over Melcher Dallas in the opening round of a Class 1A regional tournament. Now, you guys had defeated the Saints by a similar score in the Bluegrass Conference tournament last Tuesday. You know, so was this match pretty similar to that one?
We felt well prepared to the night, knowing what we would need to do again to win again. And we felt like we executed on all aspects that we needed to take home the win.
And Breeze, you had 7 kills and 6 digs in the win. I imagine, you know, the girls are pretty confident going into the rematch. Did you like playing a team that you just defeated pretty convincingly? And did that help take some of the nerves away?
Yeah, we knew that first round of regionals, the competition wasn't going to be amazing. So that definitely factored into calming our nerves some coming into the game. We just had a lot of assurance that we would win. And I was talking to one of our seniors, Ella Lever, who said that she felt some nerves just because it could have been her last game. And there's always that idea that you never know what game could be your last. However, I think that there was an overall understanding between the team that we were ready to walk into our gym and take care of business.
Well, Coach, your team had quite a night behind the serving line. You guys completed 69 of 71 serves and had a whopping 22 aces, including 8 by Ella and 6 by Caitlin Weathers. Your team now has 291 aces on the season, which ranks 4th in the entire state. And that's a category that you've ranked among the state's leaders in over the last few seasons. You know, you guys just always try to serve really aggressively, don't you?
Yeah. Michelle's serving schemes are pretty unique. And so we spend a lot of time focusing on aggressive and smart serving, and the scheme she has requires that out of the girls, with the thought of if we can get them on their heels with the first pass, that will open up a lot of things for us.
And Breeze, you're one of 6 Eagles with at least 30 aces on the season. You know, you guys obviously take a lot of pride in your ability to serve. How much time do you spend every day in practice, you know, specifically working on serving?
I mean, I would say that each practice varies slightly, to where sometimes we spend about 15 to 20 minutes, but others it could be an hour or even like half a practice. And in that, we focus on number 1 location, which is where we visualize a spot that we need to hit. And sometimes that spot is like a chair or a person. And we just repetitively hit that spot to where it becomes muscle memory, so that when we are in those high pressure situations, that we can just go back to the muscle memory and those moments will be a lot easier.
Well, your team will now host Martinsdale St. Mary's in a regional quarterfinal on Wednesday. The Blue Devils advanced with a sweep over Seymour. Coach, you guys haven't played Martinsdale St. Mary's this season. What do you know about the Blue Devils?
You know, in looking at their schedules, we haven't played any of the same teams, so we couldn't use any information of that. Based on their stats, it does look like they serve pretty well as also. We know they play a perimeter defense. They like to set their middle based off watching film, so we'll need to just keep serving aggressively to keep them out of that system.
And Breeze, I know you guys haven't had a lot of time to prepare for this match. What have the coaches told you will be the keys to beating this team?
Something that has been brought up in practice a lot recently is playing smarter and not harder. And in volleyball, just having that mindset of placing the ball so it falls on their side of the court instead of just hammering away at everything all the time, that is going to be huge, not only for Martinsdale, but also throughout the rest of the season's matches. And I don't want to obviously give away too much strategy wise, but sticking with our theme for this year, which is being united in each other and in Christ. So I think that if we focus on playing for one another as teammates in Christ, we will have a successful outing tomorrow when we face them.
And Coach, if you guys win, you will then host a regional semifinal on Monday against either Southeast Warren or Moravia. You guys just defeated Moravia in the Bluegrass Conference Championship on Thursday. But Southeast Warren boasts a 37-6 record, and they'll be playing on their home court tomorrow night. Who do you expect to come out on top in that one?
You know, since we haven't seen Southeast Warren in person, it's a little hard to say. We have seen Moravia. Moravia, I do think it's going to be a competitive match. Moravia has a pretty good setter. They have pretty good hitting options. We are anticipating that Southeast Warren will come out with a win on that, and that's what we're preparing for. But I do think that will be a fun game to watch.
And Breeze, it seems like Southeast Warren, you know, with the record that they have, they might be, you know, a pretty big hurdle for you guys to overcome in the semifinal round if you guys can advance tomorrow. Do you know much about the Warhawks yet?
Yeah, we know a little bit about them from facing them last year in the sub-state game, but obviously teams can change a lot throughout the course of the year, so we've been taking some of our time in practice to just watch film on them and pick out their key hitters, read their defense, and we know they're going to bring a big crowd, so we've even been focusing on that aspect of the game, just having a sound mentality that can handle being under pressure with the crowd jeering and yelling at us.
Well, the number one seed in your region is a sixth-ranked BCLUW, which won't even have to play a team with a winning record until at least the regional final. Coach, your team split a pair of close matches against the Comets at the Dunkerton tournament on September 27th. Do you feel like that would be a really good match if you end up meeting them in the regional final?
Absolutely. It is unfortunate that the championship game from last year, only one of those teams is going to make it to the pink court, but we fully expect that energy from the state championship to be the same should we meet each other in the regional finals. Every time we play them, whether it be at the Dunkerton tournament or at the state tournament, it's high energy. We have a lot of respect for each other. We know each other really well, and so I really do believe it's going to be a point-by-point game. Potentially go to five sets, and who can gut it out will be the winner.
Yeah, Breeze, you guys obviously have a lot of history with BCLUW. Like Coach mentioned, you defeated them in last year's Class 1A championship match to win your third straight title, and you beat them in the semifinals the year before. You know, were you surprised when the two teams were placed in the same region?
Yeah, there definitely is that history between us, but with it comes a lot of respect for them as well and the program that they've built. We also were a little bit surprised that we got paired up with them, but in our eyes, it's only good. Because in getting this tough road to state, if we were to make it, nobody could say that it was easy for us. And it could only further reflect the hard work that we put in each day to make it to that point.
Well, Coach, your team came into the season with a lot of question marks after graduating so many standouts from last year's squad. You guys got off to a 1-6 start, and you're still just 9-11 midway through the season before you had an 11-match winning streak. Did it just take a while for this team to come together?
Yeah, I think with any new season, it takes a minute to get everyone in the right spots, especially when you graduate five seniors. From day one, we really tried to shy away from any conversations regarding a rebuilding year. We really knew in November of last year, as we were looking down the bench, that we had all the pieces coming back to make another run in El Lieber, Elise Walmsley, Ella Bustle, Breeze, Caitlin, Liv Nearing. We have all the pieces to be great again. But to start off the season, you know, we still play a very aggressive schedule all year long. We play 2A, 3A, 4A, and some even 5A schools. That didn't change this year, and I think to a lot of people's surprise, they thought we would scale our schedule down a bit more, and we really didn't because we believe that that's what it takes to get to the pink court and get all the way to the championship is you got to challenge yourself throughout the year.
And Breeze, you were one of only two returning starters from last year's team along with Caitlin. What kind of expectations did you have coming into the season? Did you think you guys, you know, could be competitive again, you know, as far as contending for the 1A crown?
I honestly didn't know what to think coming into the season. I knew that we would have a tough schedule as Coach kept it relatively the same as last year. But I also knew that we had some incredible athletes in our program as well as some great freshman talent coming in as well. So it was really a matter of seeing how all those parts fit and if we cooperated well together. And we really first got to all play as a team at a camp over in Pella in the summer at Central Dutch where we were quite successful. So I think that's when we first all saw our true potential. So that was really encouraging to be like, wow, we're really good this season. And now we've only gotten better. So I 100% believe that we can win that title again.
And Coach, your team's winning streak began at that Dunkerton tournament where you guys lost to BCLUW during pool play, but then you later came back and beat them in the title match. Do you think that was kind of the day that turned your season around?
Yeah, I think that was definitely a memorable moment for us to pull out that win, especially we had lost to them earlier in the day. Again, there was just so much energy during that first match. Once we got settled into the second game that we got to play then, we played exactly how ACA should play. It's also encouraging to see the drive of the girls during that championship game. As we were watching the semifinal, I think we were all thinking to ourselves, we want BCLUW again. We wanted to show them what we really had. So to grit that out was great. And then another memorable moment, to beat Pella Christian late in the season when we played them at a Grandview Christian triangular. That was huge for us. We had to grit that one up too. We had lost to them earlier in the season. That was a 3-set game. They're a strong, strong team. So for us to get that win just propelled us going into the regionals.
And Breeze, you have to be impressed with the way a couple of the freshmen have stepped into key roles this season. Setter Avalyn Davis has dished out 677 assists, which ranks 7 in Class 1A. And Havana Dolbert leads the team with 57 blocks and 50 aces, and she ranks 3rd on the squad with 188 kills. What can you say about their performance this season and how they've contributed to the team's success?
Yeah, as you said, I am very impressed with how they've come into high school as freshmen and been able to compete with huge schools filled with all upperclassmen, and each bring their own unique talents and abilities. With Adlin's high game IQ, I know that for her it probably wasn't easy filling Katie's shoes, but she's shown some great maturity in that aspect. And then with Havana, she just gives our team a whole new level of physicality. Standing at 5'11", her height has been huge in the front line, and that's something that we've lost a lot of last year. So just having her on both offense and defense blocking. So I think that they've done a great job just adjusting to our culture and filling those roles that needed to be filled.
And Coach, you've had some other players step up as well. Ella saw some action as a DS a year ago, but she has become the team's top header this season. She's racked up 230 kills despite being just 5'5". She kind of reminds me of what Macy Nearing brought to the team last few seasons. Is that a fair comparison?
Yes. Ella Lieber is tiny but mighty for sure. Last year, preparing for the state, we kind of set up a scout team, and Lieber in that moment was playing front row for us, and she was just absolutely hammering the ball. And I think Michelle and I and the other assistant coaches made eye contact in that moment and knew this year she was going to be a 6th rotation player. Her energy, her grit, her fight, and her drive have really been what we needed this year. You can see it on her face. For those who know her well enough, you know when she's just going to make that ball hit the floor. And so I've been really proud of her. She also brings so much joy to our team. She's always laughing and smiling and goofing around. And at some moments, that's just what you need as well.
And Breeze, if you guys are able to survive your regional and advance the state again, you know, do you think this team is capable of winning another title? I guess you already touched on that a little bit ago.
Yeah, I mean, I have faith. I know our coaches have faith, and I know our team has faith. We all have so much belief and trust in each other to get there. So my answer would be absolutely yes.
And Coach, I know you guys aren't going to look too far ahead, but if you are able to make it to state, you know, who do you think will be the teams to beat in 1A?
As you said, we're not looking too far ahead, not watching film on many teams yet, but St. Anne's, for obviously being the number one team, they're ranked number one for a reason. But honestly, we did see Dunkerton at the Dunkerton tournament, and they looked pretty sharp. And so to see them jump up in the rankings to 5th this week, we thought it was an accurate depiction of how strong they are. So should we all make it, we would be keeping our eyes on them.
And Breeze, Coach has mentioned St. Anne's, they are the number one team, and yet I haven't played them this season, but do you know much about them?
To be honest, we haven't really looked that far ahead. We've been more so focusing on the short road ahead and taking one game at a time. I mean, we haven't really seen them at any of our tournaments, so we haven't had the chance to see them play in person. So there's not too much we know about them right now, but I'm sure that when or if we do make it to state, we'll start gathering some more info on St. Ansgar and everyone else who's going.
All right. Well, the next couple weeks should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. But thanks a lot for coming in tonight, guys, and good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, well, my next guest is a realtor at Legacy Realty, and she's been on the podcast numerous times. She is Tiffany Rummelhart. Tiffany, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Dan. Thanks for having me again.
You bet. Well, this is the first time you've been on since July 1st, if my notes were correct. So how was your summer? It went by too fast,
didn't it? Oh, my gosh. Has it been that long? Yes. It flew by. I'm still just in shock that we're heading into the holidays. It's just crazy. Summer went really fast.
Well, how are things going at Legacy? Keeping busy these days?
Keeping pretty busy. Things are steady. It's, you know, just kind of an interesting market. There's still a lot of people that are buying and selling. So, yeah, things are rolling along. It's good.
Well, you mentioned the holidays. Yeah, I can't believe that Christmas is 2 months away. I know I'm going to have to look forward to putting up that big tree we've got. But, you know, that coming up here in the next couple of months, you know, I got a question for you. If someone's trying to sell their house during that time, you know, are there some, you know, pros and cons as far as decorating your house while you're trying to sell it?
Oh my gosh. So we get this question quite a bit around this time of the year, whether it's people that already have their house on the market or maybe they're thinking about listing. You know, the big question, do I decorate for the holidays? And my suggestion or my answer to them is always yes. Go ahead and decorate for the holidays. You're still going to live there. You want to make it home. But there's going to be some suggestions along the way, some pros, some cons, things to do, things what not to do, just kind of as words of caution. You know, the pros are it's still going to look really inviting. It's going to be warm. It's going to have that family connection. People are walking in the colder months. Just always having it decorated for the holidays just kind of warms up the heart a little bit, I think, for everybody. I know when Brian and I put things out during the holidays, once we go to take them down, we're always like, wow, our house is really bare. So, you know, it's also going to help for people that are scrolling online and looking at photos. It might just kind of help things pop a little bit. But some things that not to do is like the knickknacks, the themes, the big kind of big decorations and things like that. I would really advise to stay away from. Keep it light, keep it subtle. Less is more in this situation for sure. But keep it neutral. You're gonna have a lot of buyers in there from different backgrounds too, that are coming in looking and they want to see the space. They don't want the focus to be on, you know, your holiday decorations. But I say yes, go ahead and decorate. You know, keep your lights, maybe white lights, which is actually kind of hard for me to say because I grew up with colored lights and we kind of have a hodgepodge of lights in our house right now. But yes, decorate, keep it simple, enjoy the holidays while you have it listed. The other thing, just a word of caution, if you do list your house during the holidays, and if it by chance doesn't sell through the month of January or by the time January is over, make sure you have new photos taken because you don't want an outdated listing out there with holiday photos in, say, February or March. So, so definitely decorate. I think that's a good idea. Just keep it simple and keep it neutral and light.
I have a related question for you because the house that we moved into, when we looked at it, it was empty because the people had already moved out. And, you know, we saw all this space and we could envision, you know, what we'd want to do with it. Is it easier to sell a house that has stuff in it or one that's empty?
Well, it depends on the buyer, if they're a visionary or if they're not. A lot of people will walk into, you know, NJ Properties, we've got, you know, a lot of our spec rooms and things like that. But once in a while, we'll have staged, which really helps people envision, you know, like a bedroom. You might walk in and think, gosh, will my queen size bed fit in a couple end tables or my king size bed in a couple of end tables? And when you have that actually in there, you can see how much space is really in the room. But sometimes people like to see that emptiness because then they can say, I'm going to place my couch here or my china hutch here or whatever they might have. So I think it kind of depends on the person, how much, like, you know, a visionary type of person that they are. I'm a very visual person. So if I can walk into a home and I can see where things are placed or walk into a home that's been staged, that's better for me. But not everybody's that way.
Well, hey, before I should go, is there any particular homes you want to talk about? Any spec homes that you guys?
We do. One thing I do want to mention is we are starting to dig some homes over in the new development, Pine Lake Estates. This is going to be the area. I'm really excited for this. It's going to be up and coming. There's going to be a lot of restaurants, a lot of retail things that are happening. This is going to be east of the interstate over there by Costco.
Okay.
Really excited because we have started digging some holes over there. So I'm excited to bring that out and to introduce some new spec homes here real soon with NJ Properties.
So anybody's interested in that, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Yeah, 515-669-2037. Give me a call, shoot me a text anytime.
Well, hey, Tiffany, thanks a lot for coming in. Then I appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my final guest tonight is a senior libero for Ankeny, and she has helped the Hawkettes to a 25-8 record and a number 6 ranking in Class 5A. She leads the team and ranks 5th in Class 5A with 378 digs and has also racked up a team-high 54 aces, and she recently surpassed the 100-ace career mark. She is Haley Finders. Haley, thanks for joining me. How are you doing?
Yeah.
I'm doing good. Well, before we break down the postseason road ahead, I just want to recap the season a little bit to this point. Certainly one of the highlights for you guys was the 4-set win at Ankeny Centennial on September 25th. You were the only team other than number one Waukee Northwest to defeat the Jaguars thus far. Do you think that match showed what this team, you know, is capable of?
Yes. I think the different competitiveness that we haven't seen so far this season, and I really thought our team was brought together through that match.
Well, after you guys dropped your next two matches to Dowling and Northwest, you then closed out the regular season with four straight wins, including a sweep over Urbandale last Tuesday. So do you feel like you guys are maybe, you know, peaking at the right time with regional play about to begin?
Yes, definitely. I think that we have been working with some different kinks that Waukee and both Dowling, like, that's how they won against us. And so I think we've been working on that, and I think we are ready for postseason.
Well, yeah, you've had a full week off now to prepare for the postseason. Is there anything in particular that you guys have been, you know, focusing on in practice, or have you just tried to work on all the fundamentals?
I think we've been working on our connections. We have players and a lot of new connections have to be built. And so we've been working on our hitters that are connections a lot and our consistency in our serves.
Well, your team will host Marshalltown or Des Moines Lincoln in a regional semifinal on Thursday at 7 p.m. Those teams are getting ready to play here shortly tonight in the opening round. Now, you haven't played either one of those teams, so does it matter to you which one comes out on top tonight?
Not really. I think that no matter who we have to play, I think that we should bring a competitive energy and show them who's on top.
Well, you guys will certainly be a heavily favored in that match, you know, no matter who you play. And if you do advance, you would then host Waterloo West or Cedar Rapids Kennedy in the regional final next Tuesday. The Wahawks will host Kennedy on Thursday, but the Cougars just defeated West in a best-of-three match, 2-1, in their conference tournament last Tuesday at West. So that looks like a pretty even matchup, doesn't it?
Yes, very. And we have played Waterloo West, I think, two times this season.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. That's a very familiar team
for us. Well, yeah, the preparation for that match, you know, would be a little easier if you guys play West, because like you mentioned, you have defeated them twice, both times during pool play at a couple of tournaments, but both matches were relatively close. You know, so what do you remember about those matches?
They had a very good outside hitter that really, we had to really key in on her because we weren't expecting it. And I think that they were a very scrappy team and a very unexpectedly good team.
Well, yeah, I know they were in the rankings until just this week. So, yeah, they appear to be, you know, pretty decent. Of course, Ankeny has qualified for state in each of the last 7 years, so it's almost become routine for you guys to make it to Coralville. I know you don't take it for granted, but with this being your senior year, you know, are you going to try to soak in every moment, you know, here over the next couple of weeks and try to enjoy the journey?
Yes, as I transferred last year, and so I've only been to state last year and this year, and I feel like it is a very special experience that should never be taken for granted because not every team gets to make it. And I think with the bond that our team has created this year, I think taking in every moment is all we need to do.
Well, before we look ahead to the state tournament, you know, what could possibly be some of the matchups there, I just wanted to get your thoughts on some of your teammates' play this season. You guys returned only four varsity regulars from a year ago, and one of them, of course, Grayson Adams, has been out for the season due to an injury. But you have obviously stepped up big time, and so have many of the younger girls as well. They've made some huge contributions. Sophomore Haley Wiedering leads the team with 271 kills, and another sophomore, Elle Isaacson, ranks third with 179. Junior Quinn Roush has been a defensive force in the middle. She's racked up a team-high 109 blocks. Now, are you surprised at all by what those girls have been able to provide this season, or did you expect them to come in and contribute the way that they have?
I think from preseason, they came in with completely different energy that we weren't expecting, and I think they really executed and have really played their roles well.
Well, I want to ask you about your own development, too. You played in just 10 matches a year ago when you were stuck on the depth chart behind teammate Bailey Carlson, who, of course, was one of the top liberos in the state. She's now playing for Auburn. Did you learn a lot from playing with her last season, and were you confident that you could step into that role and be as productive as you've been?
Yeah, she was a very good teammate and a very good role model, and I feel like I learned a lot from her, and I feel like it prepared me a lot for this season.
Let's look ahead to the state tournament now before I let you go. If the top eight teams make it to state, or even if it's just the top six, then you guys will be matched up against number three Pleasant Valley, the defending champion, in the quarterfinals. Now, I know both Ankeny and Pleasant Valley were at the Centennial Tournament earlier this season, but you guys never did meet. Did you get a chance to watch them play, though, and do you know much about them?
We played them out of preseason scrimmage in Johnston, and we did lose in two, but it was a very close match, and I think that we will really want to come back and show them what we can do.
Well, I know your team had a tough loss to Waukee Northwest in last year's quarterfinals, and Ankeny has not advanced to the semifinals since 2021. Do you guys feel like you have some unfinished business to take care of over there in Coralville?
Yes, our goal is to really make it past the first round, obviously get that state title, but with the past teams not being able to make it to the next round, I think that's really a goal this year to focus in on that and execute.
Well, I don't think there's any way that Ankeny and Centennial could meet in the quarterfinals for the second time in 3 years. But based on the current rankings and where the seedings could fall, it does appear likely the two teams, you know, would meet in the semifinals if they can both advance. You know, would you enjoy playing the Jaguars one last time in your career?
I would love to do that. That is an amazing game. It's always so much fun. The crowd base is amazing. And I feel like the energy is always completely different when you play them. So I think it would be a really good game.
Well, obviously, the favorite to win the state title is Waukee Northwest. The Wolves suffered their only loss to Waukee on September 13th, but they have since reeled off 16 straight wins. You guys lost to Northwest at the Centennial Tournament, and then you were swept by them again on October 7th. I'm sure you'd love another shot at the Wolves because it would probably have to be in the championship match. What's it going to take for somebody to knock them off?
I think that to knock them off, someone will have to come in with an outstanding energy and really focus in on Logan Vogt and Piper. I feel like those are two of their top kill people right now, and I feel like they haven't stopped yet this season, and so I think focusing in on that and just getting them a little scrambled and, I don't know, maybe just get them off their normal.
Well, they just have so many weapons, and it's hard to, you know, focus on too many of them because they just have somebody else they can go to, right?
Every single one of them is a great player.
Yeah. Well, hey, it should be a fun next couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to it. Good luck the rest of the way, Haley, and thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you.
You bet. Listen to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds, the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro, with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. Well, I know I mentioned at the top of the podcast that we'd have a player from both Ankeny and Centennial coming in tonight, but unfortunately, the Centennial player had to cancel at the last moment due to a conflict. Wasn't anything that we could do about that, but I apologize for that. But I do want to thank my other guests for coming in here tonight. We just talked to Haley Flanders from Ankeny. Earlier, we talked to assistant coach Kara Traville and sophomore Breeze Benz from the Ankeny Christian Academy team. And we also visited with Legacy Realty realtor Tiffany Rummelhart. I appreciate the time from all of those folks. And come back next week. Hopefully, we'll have another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. We may have to skip a week, though. My wife is having some surgery over on Iowa City on Tuesday, but we're going to be there for a few days, both to get there a day in advance and then for a day of recovery. So I'm not sure if we will have a podcast next week or not. But anyway, I'll come back either next week or the following week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.